going to have a word of prayer. Here's our brother Mark gets ready to go. Hi, Mark. How you doing? I just came back from India and in Korea. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of people in India. 1.3 billion. That's four times the amount of people in this country are in India. And I was in a city had 30 million people in it. Mumbai, also called Bombay. And just a lot of people with nothing. And no one to give them anything. And just kind of all just hanging out with nothing. So we are so blessed in this country and so blessed to be in this church and so blessed to have everything, a nice meal, nice warm place. So I'm just very appreciative. So let's just open up today in prayer and get ready for our brother Mark to give the message. Oh, Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We do praise you. Thank you for your loving kindness and mercy to us. Thank you, Father, that we have our salvation through Jesus. Many people don't understand that, especially people in other countries. They just don't know about Jesus yet. And I pray, Father, that they would come to know about Jesus throughout the whole world. But, Father, be with us today. I pray you touch everyone's heart to receive a word that you're going to give everybody here today. I'm sure there's somebody in here that needs to hear what Mark's going to say. And there's somebody that the Lord is working on in this room. I'm sure of it. So, Father, we would pray your Holy Spirit would have his way and touch the hearts and minds of everybody here. And be with Mark and bless him and work through him this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey, I got to ask this young guy a question. What's your name?
Christopher.
This is Christopher. If you are glad that Christopher is in church this morning, would you say amen? He just took some batteries here. Christopher, let me borrow this one. He took some batteries and he made the symbol of the cross up here on the altar. God bless you, Christopher. Hey, God bless the kitchen. You know, we couldn't eat without the kitchen. And, of course, God bless the praise and worship team. We could have praise and worship, but doesn't it mean a lot to have music like this? And I was, hang on a second. Hey, what's your name?
Jezediah.
Say it again.
Jezediah.
Jezediah? Jedediah. Hey, if you're glad Jedediah is in church this morning, would you say amen? If you're happy to be in church this morning, would you say amen? I heard a hallelujah over here. All week long, I was thinking about this. I love these kids. The Lord loves these kids. And Pastor Sam, I was thinking about your message last week and how it touched me. And I pray that what God has given me through his word will touch you this morning. Honestly, if you got two ears to listen and your heart and mind is open even a little bit, I want you to prepare for something great this morning. That is not because I am great. Although I will say I am a beautiful, wonderful child of God. And Vicky, did you know that you are a beautiful, wonderful child of God? Well, I think you're beautiful, and the Lord thinks you're beautiful. Pray with me just for a second here, then we'll get started. Lord, we've got some scriptures to look at. We're going to start in Judges chapter 7, if you have your Bibles there. We're going to start in Judges, Lord, and then we're going to work our way towards the New Testament. And I'm very excited today, Lord, that you've given me health. I'm thankful for the way you touched me this week. I haven't felt good all week, and today I feel strong because I need to be right here. Help us to listen today, Lord. And help me to listen. Even as I speak, help me to listen to myself and what you're saying. And help us, Lord, to apply what we hear. In Jesus' name, we just love you. And everybody said in agreement, amen, amen. Well, praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, Judges chapter 7, I wanted to talk about, leave that cross up there because I need to look at that. Thank you, brother. I wanted to talk today, I was telling some of the folks last week about the superheroes of the Bible. It was interesting because I was talking to Ed, we were walking around and Ed mentioned a few names of superheroes of the Bible. And you know, right away, there's names that are going to come up, you know, like Moses and Joshua and Daniel, and you know, there's a lot of different names that David. But I want to talk about a couple other superheroes from the Bible. As a matter of fact, I have over 300 superheroes that I want to talk about from the Scriptures. And don't panic, we're not going to talk that long. You're going to eat. But the first group is 300. Okay? So the first group is 300. And then we've got 301, 302, 303. And Lord help us as we talk about number 304. But in Judges chapter 7, this is the story of Gideon when he defeated the Midianites. I don't know a lot about the Midianites other than I know that they wanted to defeat Gideon. And Gideon was on, let's keep it simple here today because I need to keep it simple for me too, okay? Gideon was on God's side. I'm on God's side. And that makes me so happy because no matter what happens to me, I'm on God's side and God is on my side. And the Midianites wanted to defeat Gideon, so this Midianite army was monstrous. And the Lord said to Gideon, get your men together, take them down to the river, get them a drink of water. And he said, I want you to choose the ones who lap the water with their hands like this while they're watching. Anybody know that story? If it's the first time you heard it, you know, it's still cool. You can get a grip on it here. But they reached down at the water and they put it to their mouth like this while they were. It was about safety, right? And the other ones were down like dogs. I'm not calling them dogs. I'm just saying they were down with their, you know, their heads all the way down in the water drinking. They were thirsty. God says, choose those 300. Choose those 300 that are lapping the water with their hands. That's the ones you want to use to fight for you. May I just say this as we cover the first point of the superheroes of the Bible? These 300 were prepared. And there's power in preparation. I mean, there's power in preparation because when you prepare to do something, whether you're I'm sure there's a carpenter in the room. I'm sure there might even be a mason or a bricklayer in the room or both. You can't build something correctly without preparing. You can't build your own life. I can't build my own life without preparing. I've got to. I might get by, you know, with just kind of running from the seat of my pants, but man, that wears out the seat of your pants. And then you got to go buy new pants. And I'm being silly there. But you know what I'm saying? Preparation. There's power in preparation. And let me just tell you what the power of preparation did for these 300 men. As you turn the page, if you have your Bibles, Judges chapter 7, verse 21 says, while each man held his position around the camp, and the Midianites, they ran crying, and they all fled. What's that about? I thought this was a big, vast, powerful army. They ran crying, and they all fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, those same guys that were drinking water, man, they all had a trumpet. It's crazy, isn't it? The 300 trumpets sounded, and the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their own swords. These guys didn't have to lift a finger, and they won that war. I'm telling you, there's power in preparation. If you agree with that, would you say amen? Point number two. We're going to jump way to the right here. Bear with me. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, if you have your Bibles. Oh boy, this is quite the story here. John chapter 8. Let me just set the stage for the beginning of verse 1 here. We'll read a little bit and then we'll talk about that there's power in repentance. This is another superhero of the Bible. Okay, I still think those 300 were awesome men. But this woman who was caught in the act of adultery. Oh boy. Hang on a second. I got to pull up my sleeves. I'm just doing that because this story is so sensitive. For years, I've talked about this message from time to time. And I've always tried to be gentle to the women because The Bible says in John 8 that this woman was caught in the act of adultery. And I've always tried to somewhere implement, where's the man at? And why didn't they? Because Leviticus says if you're caught, you're going to be stoned. You know, in the Old Testament, the law, they were going to stone you if they caught you doing this. Listen to this story a little bit here, and I think you're going to be encouraged this morning. Matter of fact, I guarantee you you're going to be encouraged this morning. If you're still glad you're here and listening, would you say amen? Okay, I'm glad I'm here too. I'm going to read a few verses. We'll talk, and I'll read a couple more. So Jesus, he went down to the Mount of Olives at dawn. Keep in mind, it's early morning, right? He appeared again in the temple courts where all the people had gathered, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery. It's dawn. Don't forget that. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses," we're going back to Leviticus here, "in the law of Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now what do you say?" I know there's little ears here this morning. There's big ears and there's little ears. So I'll be careful what I want to say. But this was a you-know-what party that went bad. I want to tell you why this was a you-know-what party that went bad. And it's a three-letter word for us adults here, okay? It went bad because I think that these men went to this adulterous woman. Maybe she had a little reputation. I don't want to pick on her at all. I don't know the facts here. God knows the facts. His reputation is my reputation is his responsibility. My character is my responsibility. You know, my character builds my reputation just like it builds yours. And by the way, if your character's shot, you can rebuild it. God will help you rebuild it. Well, did he ever do that for this woman? So I think this was a you-know-what party that went bad. And I think they went to this woman's house, these men. And while they were doing to her what they did to her, this is what I think she said. "I'm going to blow the whistle on you. I'm going to tell your wife that you've been here. I'm going to tell your mother that you were here. I'm going to spread it around what you men are doing to me." Now, this isn't in the footnotes of my Bible, but it makes sense to me. Think about this. They drag her from her house. It's dawn. You don't have those kind of parties usually in the morning. You have them at night after you've been drinking all night or whatever. It's dawn. They drag her, probably by the hair. And these men are thinking, "We're going to take care of her because she's going to expose us." And Jesus. Did I say Jesus? Yeah. He's always involved in healing. He's always involved in helping. He says to them, "I want any of you who is without sin to pick up the first stone, throw it at her." Again, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. At this, then he began to see them go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and he asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you. Now go and leave your life of sin." That's the hard part for me. How about you? Go and leave your hard life of sin. Did I say hard? I think I did. Go and leave your easy life of sin. Sometimes sin's really easy. Sometimes sin, it takes work even to sin. I'm so tired of both. I just think to myself, "Lord, I would like to be prepared today." I said last week, I said, I wake up in the morning because this friend of mine taught me. She said, "Before your feet hit the floor," some of you already heard this, it's worth hearing again. This is back to the power of preparation. Say who you are when you wake up every day. Help me with this new habit. Who am I? That's why I told Vicki, she's a beautiful, wonderful child of God. That's what I say every single solitary morning. Second question, what are my intentions? I say, "Lord, my intentions are to be all in today, no matter what I do. And to be honest today. Even if I'm tempted to lie, You know, I'm in business. I work at FedEx. I was telling Brother Bill, it's a miracle that I'm standing here. I had all kinds of stuff going on today. I'm so blessed with my job in Memphis and Minnesota this morning. These shipments and the carriers are calling my phone. I thought, Lord, I got to get to Jesus' sand. Part the waters. Help me get here. And he helped me and I walked in. But I want to be honest. And then what's my purpose? I think my purpose starts with my core. I want Jesus to be the center of my life and everything branch off of that. I want Jesus to look great because of my life, not ordinary. I hate when I make him look ordinary. He is not ordinary. He can put trumpets in the men of 300 and he could have the Midianites rebel against themselves and he could destroy them, and Gideon won the war without lifting a finger. He lifted a trumpet. For goodness sakes, you got to be kidding me. And then this dear woman. So what if she had a reputation? We don't know that for sure, but she probably did. That's why they knocked on her door. Then again, who knows? They might have just been a group of rapists that went in there and just wanted to do what they wanted to do. And did God ever turn the tables on them? There's power in repentance. If you agree with that, would you say amen? A couple more points. Appreciate you listening. This next one is very interesting to me, and this has a little background for Jesus said here, so I hope this encourages you. I want to talk about the power of preparation, the power of repentance, and the power of availability. Here's two superheroes. I know everybody knows this name. Doral Chenoweth III from the Bible. You know that name? We all know that name, don't we? None of us know that name except me. I want to tell you who Doral Chenoweth III is. We don't have a long time to talk here, but wait till you hear this. Steve and Judy have heard this story. Some of you have heard this story. A lot of you haven't. Jesus said started in 1996 in Columbus, Ohio, through Doral Chenoweth III. The reason his name's in the Bible, if you have Ephesians chapter 2 in your Bible, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, great memory verse. This is what it says. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let me read it one more time. It's very powerful. For we, me, you, are God's workmanship. We're a work in progress. He created us in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I worked for a guy in construction, and we were down at the Columbus Convention Center doing a trade show. And we had our booth, right? Now, let me give you a little idea of the caliber of this trade show. Honda was there. Home Depot was there. And here's our little company that we had there. And here comes Doral Chenoweth III from the Columbus Dispatch, who was God's workmanship, being prepared to do good works in advance. And he comes walking through with a camera as big as a little boy on his shoulder. He comes walking in. And I said to my buddy, I said, man, he's going to take some pictures. I hope he gets a shot of us. He comes directly to our booth. Again, Honda's there. Home Depot's there. It gives you an idea of the caliber of people that are there. He says, can I take some pictures of your booth? Yeah. Well, he ends up talking to us. And long story short, he never goes to any other booth. And you know what he said? He said, my boss sent me in here to spotlight a company, and can I do yours? We were like, yeah. And we're thinking, is it going to cost anything? Here, he puts it on the front page of the Columbus Dispatch. But this is what Doral Chenoweth III, who was God's workmanship, who was being prepared in advance for good works that results in today, he says, what are you guys doing tonight? And I said, well, we're going to go get some dinner and then we'll be back here in the morning. He goes, you need to cross the tracks and go find the hot dog crew. We're like, hey, man, we weren't really thinking about a hot dog. We don't have a bunch of money to spend, but we've been working our butts off all day. We'd like to get a steak. He goes, you got to meet the hot dog crew. Then you can go get some dinner. All right, so me and my friend, his name is Mark also, we walk across the tracks and you talk about on the other side of the tracks. It was nighttime and it got darker and it got darker and it got darker and it got darker. And we could hear screaming. We could hear glass breaking. We heard gunshot. We could hear people. And then as we approach the hot dog crew, it was like a light was on. Not literally, but it was like a light was on. There were street lights. But this brother was preaching. He was preaching to those that sold things that will kill you. The crack addict and the prostitutes and the people. And they're serving hot dogs and Kool-Aid and the scriptures. And I came home and I told Steve, I said, man, I got to do something. And that's what was the initiation of all this. It's incredible. Doral Chenoweth III is in Ephesians chapter 2:10. And so are you. So am I, if we want to be. Here's one more, then we're going to close with number 4. Thank you for listening so much. If you're still glad you're here, would you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm so glad I'm here. Here's number 4. We had the 300, the power of preparation. We had that dear lady, the power of repentance. We had the power of availability with Doral. We got one more power of availability. I'm going to tell you about Madeline. I pastored a nursing home and I've been there for a long, long time. I'm shocked that, it's a public place. They've never restricted me on talking about being born again, the blood, Jesus. You think maybe the people would come to me and say, hey, Pastor Mark, we appreciate you being here, but could you just use the word God just to keep everybody kind? And I would understand that. I really would. But they never have. So it's my passion. And I've seen God break through dementia, full-blown dementia, with the hymns that we sing. People who can't even talk start singing because we're singing Amazing Grace or In the Garden. They start singing. It's unbelievable. So it's my passion. And I found a new place that I'm starting to break ground in. It just opened up in Green. It's called Green Village. And I was there the other day. Maybe some of you know it. It's a beautiful facility, brand spanking new. And our brother Dan Chinrock's mother is there. So I went to see her. Again, long story short, I said, Phyllis, I'd like to come back. And if I have some blankets, I'll bring you a blanket. Because she looked a little bit cold. A little chilly in there. So I went home, and I knew I was going to go back there Sunday, this coming Sunday. Wednesday night, last week, I get on my knees and I pray, Lord, would you have Madeline call me tomorrow, Thursday? Would you have her call me and bring me some blankets so I can take them to Green Village, to Phyllis, and to her neighbors there? In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I'm telling you, with God as my witness, Madeline, who I met about 10 years ago, she was the one who started giving me blankets to take to these people. Thursday morning, my phone rings. It's Madeline. It's Madeline. Hey, Mark, you need some blankets? I went down and got the blankets. I'm taking them there Sunday. Let's close with number 4. The power of preparation. The power of repentance. Power of availability. Oh, man. This next one. Please don't cry when we talk about this here. Luke chapter 23. Two thieves are on the cross in Luke chapter 23. This is the power of humility and trust. You know who I feel sorry for? By the way, if this is the first time you heard the story, here it is. Jesus is on the cross. He's got a condemned thief on one side and a condemned thief on the other side. Both condemned to die. One is cursing him. One is saying, if you're the Messiah, if you're the Christ, get us off these crosses, save us, deliver us. Those of you that know the story, remember what the other one said? Remember me. Jesus, remember me when you enter your kingdom. I'll never forget. Steve and Judy might remember this. Dwayne from way back. There was a guy from West Virginia, Pastor Charles, forgot his last name. He used to say, what faith that took. He believed that guy was a king in the middle. He was most likely completely undressed. Imagine the humiliation. He had a crown of thorns that had been on his head, so he probably was just covered in blood. They had beaten him. They had spit on him. They flogged him. He was unrecognizable. And that thief believed that that was a king? Seriously? And Jesus said to him, "Today. Today, pal." I just threw in that pal. "But today, today, brother, today, sister, you'll be with me in paradise." Now we're going to close in prayer. And I just want to say something about the power of humility and trust. Humility and trust bring salvation. And when Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise," when I gave my heart to the Lord, I entered paradise. Yeah, I'm still standing here today, but let me just say something to you. I'm not on medication. I got nothing against medication this morning, if you're on it. I'm just saying I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. And I went into paradise on June the 9th, 1985. Because that was the day I opened up my heart to the Lord. And if I died on June the 9th, 1985, I would be in paradise. I died today. I'm in paradise. You give your heart to the Lord today. This is your spiritual birthday. Isn't that exciting? I'm so thankful that you were here this morning and listening. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Lord, thank you so much for the ears that you give us to listen. We're so thankful this morning, Lord, for being able to hear and be able to see. And all this rain is melting, all that snow, and the grass is going to get green, and the trees are going to bud, and the daffodils are going to come up. Praise God. And the kids are in church with us, Lord. What a great influence this is on them. And we're all here. And some of us can relate to the ones that reached down and just lapped up that water like a dog. And then others, we're prepared. Some of us have been in adulterous situations. Lord God, please forgive me. Forgive us. We want to repent. We want to turn from that and change. And Lord, we want to be available like Doral was and Madeline is. Direct answer to prayer. I almost passed out when she called me. I was so excited. Why was I surprised, Lord? Why? That's who you are. And then that thief. Oh, we're going to get to meet that one thief. But the other one, we're not going to get to meet him. I'm so sorry. He's in the lake of fire. Forever. I don't want to go there, Lord. And I'm not going to have to go there. If God's speaking to your heart, pray this short prayer with me. It's a prayer of confession and commitment. If you mean it sincerely, the Bible says, all of heaven, that's pretty big, all of heaven rejoices. Pray with me if you'd like. Dear Lord Jesus, I love you. Please forgive me of all my sins and come into my heart. Help me, Lord, to trust in you every day of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for listening. You're dismissed. I appreciate you being orderly. It really means a lot.